Why do very successful people like to talk to very curious people who are interested in their success? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Why do people who are successful like it when they are interviewed by people who are interested in their success? Why are they interested? Well, the whole story boils down to this. Everybody's got an idea of why someone is a success, of why someone is more successful than someone else, or why someone came up with the great ideas they came up with. Now, true, we cannot make comparisons with Einstein or Leonardo da Vinci or other people who have great talent thrust upon them or bursting out of them in everything they do. So what do we do? We're interested in who these top executives are who run our major corporations today and yesterday. And these people who ran these major corporations, when they were interviewed by people or by people who were very sincere in wanting to accomplish something, they were happy to tell them the story of their life. Now, you and I think that when a person tells the story of their life, they're going to tell about the things that made them successful, the things that drove them to achieve the greatness that they worked on to achieve. But this is not the case. When people are questioned about to what do you owe your great wealth and to what do you owe your longevity of age and so forth, they don't give the answer that you think they should give. What they do is they say, basically, I found something early in life that turned me on. Now, do you hear that? Mm-hmm. I found something early in life that turned me on. I found something early in my life that made me excited, that made me feel, hey, this is challenging, this is wonderful. And I have nothing to lose because I have the slightest idea of how it works. You know? So they're going to go right in at base zero and learn how it works. Now, as they're learning how it works, they care to learn how it works, and they have the humility it takes to learn how it works. And with that humility, they begin to learn all of the magic that makes it work. Now, what is the magic that makes a business work? You know, for instance, we look at IBM, and we see that Watson, as he established IBM in its early days, he had a model that he put up on the board, and he put it up in all of his offices, all his IBM offices. And do any of you know what that motto was? It was just one word. The motto was think. Think. He wanted his people to think. He didn't care what they thought about. He wanted them to think. Whatever they did, he wanted them to think why they were doing what they were doing, how they could do what they're doing better, and in what way they could make the company just a little more popular and prosperous and everything by thinking using their head. Well, he had another little gimmick that he used. And these are things that he taught to people, and these are things that he exercised in his corporation. And what was that? Everyone had to wear a suit and a tie and good-looking shoes and everything. They had to be properly dressed in what he called it business attire. Now, many of the other people didn't think that was too cool because they didn't like that. But all of the IBM executives represented their company with class. They represented their company with their shoulders back, chest out, chin out. They were class. Now, they may not have had any class other than the fact that they wore their suit, but they were class. And they began living up to that which they were expected to do. Now, you say, well, didn't they teach them anything about product? Didn't they teach them anything about salesmanship? Didn't they teach them anything about getting out and meeting the customer and building up relationships with customers and so forth? No. No. In the early relationship of a employee with the IBM firm, and I'm talking about as they have the first year, second year, third year that they are working for IBM, the first years are very dedicated to self-discipline. IBM taught its people self-discipline. Respect yourself. Respect this product. You're working for the greatest company in the world. You're working for the company that's on top of every other company. They weren't. But you're working for the company that's on top of every other company. But they were soon getting there. And other companies tried to surpass them and tried to go around them. But they couldn't, because they had this cadre of exquisite men who were just the fashion model, just really caring. They weren't supercilious in their fashion. They didn't go beyond what is the normal of the good business suit, but they did wear it well, and they kept it ironed and pressed and clean in every way, and they wore it with distinction. Now, what has that got to do with being a success? Well, what that has to do with being a success is if you like yourself, if you are proud of yourself and the company you work for and the world in which you live, you will be a successful person, because doors will just open up for you wherever you go because you like yourself. You don't expect to go out and meet a customer and have them slam the door in your face. Now, many of the photo brush men would go out and take their wares, or the vacuum cleaner people, and they'd knock on doors, and people say, "No, thank you, bye-bye." And they'd get their foot in the door so that they couldn't close the door. And they'd say, "But you haven't heard my talk." And they'd try to get in. Well, you see, now, they were successful. They made a lot of sales, but there was no long-term sort of thing to that. There was no prestige to that. IBM had the prestige. Now, the name of IBM just grew and grew and grew, and it became known for the finest and the best. It became known as the International Business Machine Corporation of the world. IBM, International Business Machine Corporation. And the people in IBM were looked at as being the top quality people. To be an IBM salesman, you had to go through the period of
Discipline.
Self-discipline. You had to go through the period of being very humble. You may have come there with all sorts of degrees and all sorts of capacities, but they don't move you into those capacities until you prove that you're a disciplined, good representative of IBM. Now, Jesus did the same thing with his disciples. He taught them to go out into the world to preach and teach and heal and raise the dead. And he taught them how to do it and how to conduct themselves. And he said, "Do not take any extra shoes along. Do not take any extra clothes along. Only the one suit that you have on your body. Do not take a cloak along. Do not take a staff along. Just go your way." Now, what was he saying to them? Be dignified. You're not taking a staff along to protect yourself from robbers along the way. He said, if someone wants what you have, give it to them. So you're naked, but you give it to them. Give them your cloak and give them your coat. Give them everything, you know, whatever they want. And don't fight them. And did you ever hear of any of Jesus' disciples being robbed or molested? No. Because, you see, they had the right attitude of mind. They were untouched. If you want it, fine. But nobody wanted it. And you see, this is how in the IBM program, they taught their salesmen how to be men of quality, men of distinction. There's another organization in the United States called the Marine Corps. And the Marine Corps expects their people to be not only soldiers, not only wonderful military people, not only protectors of the nation, but they expect them to be the quality representatives. They are fine people. They are people who have been they have been taught self-discipline so strongly that they manifest it and they walk ramrod straight, and they're always honorable. They're always responsible. Oh, there's a rotten apple here and there in every group. But the thing is, the majority of the Marines, if you ever say the word Marine, you don't think of a bad word with it, you know. The Navy has a word for them. They call them the seagoing bellhop. But do you think that bothered the Marines to be called a bellhop? Why not?
They know who they are.
They knew who they were. And you cannot belittle anyone who knows who they are. And so the IBM men knew who they were. And they were tops. And they were welcomed into all the major industries and businesses around the world as International Business Machine Associate because they represented quality. And when they walked in the door, all of the people in the company that they went to visit stood up a little taller because their dignity and honor and integrity was walking in the door. Do you hear that? Okay, now. So it is with all of us. With all of us, if we want to achieve anything in life, we first learn self-discipline. And we learn self-respect. We learn humility. And we learn what?
Self-dedication.
What, excuse me?
Self-dedication.
Yeah. Yes.
One pointedness.
Yes, all that stuff. We learn to walk straight. We learn to walk with dignity. No one can ever put us down or make us feel small or say anything bad about us because we know the truth. We can never be intimidated. Now, I do my best to intimidate all of you. I say, who are you? And you say, well, what does he want? Does he want me to say I'm God? Or does he want me to say that I like me? Or does he want me to say I am that I am that I am? And what does he want me to say? Well, I don't want you to say anything. I want you to tell me who you are. Now, if you can tell me that you're God and really let me know that that's what you really mean, not that you think you should say that you're God because that's what you think you should say, not because you know what it means to be God, you know? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be God? What it means to be God is a whole book, you know? What it means to be God is to be the all, the is. Now, are you ready for that? And the answer is no. You're not ready for that. And the reason that you're not ready for that is because you're not yet self-disciplined. You're not yet determined and humble. Now, why did Jesus the Christ go around saying, the Father and I? He went around saying those things because the people in those days needed to have respect for the man. And if Jesus said, I am God, and I am the totality of all, and I go around, and and there's none greater than me or lesser than me, I'm the all, they'd stone him very quickly. But he went around saying, the Father within, and the Father dwells within, and the Father is the allness, and so forth, because that was a symbol, that was a term, that the people could readily accept without losing their integrity, and without losing their historical basis for understanding who they are. Now, do you know who you are? Have you been so self-disciplined to know who you are? Could you stand up with Jesus the Christ and say, I know, I am that I am that I am? And could you say that I am the way, the truth, and the light? All who come unto the path come by me. Now, what was he talking about? Was he talking about this human being, or was he talking about the Christ consciousness that's in all of us? All right, now, what is the consciousness that's in all of us about being a good businessman? What is the consciousness in every IBM executive? What is the consciousness about them? The consciousness about them is they're the greatest, like the Marine Corps. There's no other corps in the world that compares to the Marine Corps. We are it. Semper Fidelis, one for all and all for one. They're with each other. They're belonging to each other. They are a united group because they represent, if you will, God. See, they represent God. They protect the God-given rights of people to live and have the right to all the freedoms that the Constitution gives in the United States. And they're protecting that. And if anybody misunderstands it or misuses it, there, what happens? Now, to digress for a moment, President Reagan did a good job, and he had a few interesting things about him that caused people to pick on him a little bit. And yet, did that destroy him, his integrity? Was his integrity always intact? Yes, it was. Now, why did people want to pick on him? They wanted to pick on him because they wanted to destroy the integrity of the United States. Because when you destroy the president, you're destroying the integrity of the United States. The president's integrity should never be allowed to be in any way contaminated. And the president has watchdogs and people that watch out after him to make sure that he doesn't step off the well-beaten path. But that should be kept in-house. That should be kept in-house by the father and the mother of the family. They don't go out and tell everybody the problems that their children have and the problems that their world is all about. They say, we have a wonderful family. And if they're, well, I heard your son did, yeah, he's working on a project. Yeah. Well, a project, it's not very nice. No, he's working on it. But you'll find out that that project is something that's a blessing to him, you know. And you see, you defend him. Like when I was defending Reagan in Lugano and in Italy and so forth, what was I doing? That was my president, you know. And not my God, but my president. And that's my country. You're talking about knocking my country. And don't you do that. I can say what I want about my country, theoretically, but even I shouldn't say it. Because I don't know any more than anybody else. All I know is the good stuff, and that's all I ever should know. Now, if we want to rise in the ranks of the great men who have walked before us, we have to keep our skirts clean. We have to at all times live in the highest and most noble calling that we can possibly do. And we must also do something else. We must be so pure in our consciousness that we cannot see anything to the contrary. Now, Mary Willett wrote a little note, and it was the one that we said on I think it was your question, and she said that was just exactly what she needed to know to talk with a friend about using principle and standing up for principle. And of course, I do it so often, I don't realize that it's anything new about it. But when you hear it at the moment you need it and you apply it, you're very blessed and you're very uplifted, and you want to tell the world, hey, that was neat, that was neat. And so you see, those are the things that are just so beautiful. You have the page right there, and hand me the page. Thank you. Yeah, that's the one. And so she was looking at this thing here, and she said, it says here, beloved Ellen, causes bring amazing results. I think I can put a cause in motion and not be responsible for that cause. This is just one of the silly things I do when I think I can get away from every thought that I think. It is not always a thought about me, but a thought about anyone. I am the creator of my world, and because of that, every thought I think about any of my creation are thoughts about me, and I am fully responsible. For this reason, I cannot allow myself to see myself ill, in need, or imperfect in any way. Just as I cannot allow myself to see myself in, to see myself, I cannot allow to see anyone else, I cannot allow myself to see myself in any way, in need, ill or imperfect. When I allow myself to see another less, then I have put a very heavy burden upon my shoulders. As I turn to my creation and see them as I see myself, unlimited, I am unlimited. I live the principle. You see, this was set out on the idea of who and what we are. What do we think about? Are our thoughts positive, powerful, dynamic, wonderful things, or are our thoughts things that are limiting us? It's up to us to make the decision. Now, what decision do you want to make for yourself? Do you want to say, I am a member of IBM and walk tall? Do you want to say, I'm a Marine and walk tall? Or do you want to say, I am whatever your name is and walk tall? Walk straight. I walk the meditation path here in the morning and I say all sorts of things. And then I say, I like me. And immediately my shoulders go back, chest up, chin out. I like me. I am ideal, spirit, mind, and body. And I can't even stand as tall as I feel like standing. And I'm walking around. My tummy goes in, you know, my shoulders go back. And I feel just wonderful. I feel fantastic. And I'm walking around. And I'm not in a great hurry, but I'm walking briskly and enjoyably. But I live up to what I'm saying about myself. And when I live up to what I'm saying about myself, great things happen. And this is true for all of us. So let's remember these boys at IBM. Let's remember the Marines. Let's remember the people who take the responsibility of representing a nation, and they're called the president or the prime minister or whatever they're called. And let's remember these people. And what do they do? They have a role to play. And they have to keep their skirts clean. And if they don't have the skirts clean when they go in, they shouldn't be in there. But they do. But remember, whenever their skirts appear to be dirty, it's because someone is trying to tear them down, to tear down what they represent. Not them so much, but what they represent. Because if you can destroy the president, you can destroy the confidence of the people in the United States. And so whenever I hear about our president being maligned here or abroad, I say, hey, we elected him. Let's get behind him. And let's start using our positive thinking to say he is the greatest president in the world and he is doing great things and he is accomplished. Instead of saying he's poor, he's nothing, let's get behind him. Now, if I say that about our president, what do I say about myself or you? You're fantastic, you're glorious, you're wonderful, you're whole and perfect. Accept it now, because that's who you are. And it's very wonderful. Now, in the next coming weeks, we're going to have a series of seminars, lectures that is, and the lectures are going to speak to the subjects that we'll be coming up with in spring in Europe, and in Nigeria, and wherever else we may go. So you can give me any titles you want, and anyone who's listening here, if you have any titles of what you think that we would like to talk about. What is it our topic is, Ellen?
Values.
Our topic is values. So if you have any good concepts that you think would be worthy of discussing, thinking about, or embossing in our mind, on values, just let me know, because I will treat them in my usual manner of as though I said it first. So bring it along. Look at that moon coming up there. Bring it along and come out and enjoy. And as you do, you'll see that the world is a very wonderful place. Have a lovely evening and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.